Dr. Patton is someone that really knows the human capital field. And first of all, let's talk a little bit about Monster. You're part of Monster.com, which is really Monster Worldwide. What is Military Advantage, and what does it do in this whole human capital piece?
Well, Military Advantage is actually the company name, but we're pretty much known as Military.com. The company was acquired in 2004 under Monster, and it started in 1999. We were entering our 11th year of operation. But it started from a naval reservist who was a Harvard School graduate student. And he was frustrated when he was going to drills of not finding out information that he needed. So as a project, he started to create a website called military.com that had news, information, and so forth. And he made a business out of it. It's kind of a similar story of Fred Smith of FedEx, except he got a passing grade for putting military.com together.
So jobs and job listings are part of this whole complex.
It's one of many things that military.com does, particularly with our connection with Monster, is that definitely focus toward the employment aspect. But it's the A to Z of military. When you go on there, you find, like I say, we talk about news. We're the ninth largest news destination site on the Internet, something that very few people know. And I'm sure that the activities that are going on, particularly with the war and so forth, has a lot to do with that. In addition to that, we have activities, we have entertainment, all kinds of things. You think of it, you'll find it on military.com.
So in other words, one part of the company gets them hired, the other part makes sure that the health and welfare and well-being is all taken care of on the other end.
Absolutely,
okay.
Absolutely.
So the conference, what's your purpose at being at this big conference today, the HCMD conference here in Arlington?
Well, of course, one of the things that we do, particularly at military.com, is focusing on human capital improvement, that being that focusing toward the employment of veterans and transitioning service members. That's one of the key areas, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So one of the big things that we do at military.com, we do 34 to 40 career fairs each year around the country, and we do these at free of cost, basically focusing on helping the transitioning service members, getting them prepared and going into the workplace, as well as veterans, and highlighting skills and talents of what veterans have. One of the key things we have on our website is our Military Skills Translator, which is very unique in that it ties in with what jobs that are available right now.
Now, veterans is a big word because it encompasses people that may have just come out of their active service. They could still be in their 20s. They could be wounded. They may not have some of the long-term life skills that you acquire. At the other end, there are people that might be in their 40s, 50s, 60s, entering a different phase of the workforce. Let's talk about that first group, the people that might be coming out of military service, having maybe served in Afghanistan or Iraq. What do you find they need the most in terms of getting them prepared for the civilian workforce?
Well, you know, the best way I can answer that is to tell you a very, very short story. One of the career fairs that I was running, it was in Charleston, South Carolina, as a matter of fact. We had hundreds of people there and so forth, and I saw this young man who looked very depressed, and I walked up to him. And I said, "What's the matter?" And he says, "Well, there's no jobs here for me." I said, "What do you mean there's no jobs here for you? There's all kinds of people here to talk with." He says, "You know, I'm getting out of the Marine Corps. I'm a Lance Corporal, and I'm a sniper. There's no jobs here for me." And so I said, "Well, hold on a second. Well, I know a little bit about what snipers do, although I wasn't a sniper in the military, but I know a little bit. One thing is that attention to detail, understanding precision maintenance because of the weapon that you have to work for, the responsibility is placed on you, and you got to have a security clearance. That's one of many things that I talked to this young man about. Now, my purpose of the story is the types of skills that transitioning service members have, particularly those that come with combat-related skills that really do translate to the civilian sector. And that's one of the key things that the folks that are transitioning have a tough time understanding, and that's taking their skills, what they learned in the military, and relating it to what's going on in the civilian world.
So I would classify that as putting it, helping their self-knowledge, really, about
Absolutely.
What they skills they do have.
Absolutely.
And on the employer side, how do you convince an employer that, yes, someone that might have been a sniper or any one of 1,000 functions that happen in the military actually does translate to skills that can be used in the private sector.
Well, it's about educating the employer public, getting folks to understand about what people do in the military and more than just the obvious things of what the military service is all about, and taking those unique skills as well as the talents that these young people bring into that, knowing that the training that's involved is very compact and compressed compared to in the civilian world, that somebody has to take twice as much time to learn to do different types of skills. So we have to spend a lot of time educating the employer public, as I call it, to get them to understand it.
And in times like these where, frankly, companies aren't hiring that much, do veterans, can they have an advantage over other people in the workforce because of the skills they've acquired?
Well, I think one of the problems that's going on today, particularly with doing more with less and so forth, is looking for people who have those exceptional talents and skills that can understand how to take minimal resources to make things happen. So the sell pitch that I put to the employers is the fact that you've got fewer resources to work with, and you need people who know how to work with those kinds of things, which elevates those talents that veterans have.
Now, there are veterans hiring preferences in the federal government.
Yes.
So for managers who are facing hiring needs in the federal government, aside from the fact that there is a preference, what convincing do they need? I mean, I imagine that it takes more than just having the preference to get them to say, yeah, we really want to reach out and get these veterans.
Well, I think, you know, and let's go beyond the patriotic thing of this, the duty of what people are. Let's talk more about looking at experience and looking at the fact that you're looking for people that come into the workplace with minimal time needed to be able to go from 0 to 60 to make things happen. And I think that as I will talk to the group here, predominantly all civilian employees for the federal government, is explain that part, that you don't have a lot of time in terms of taking folks when you've got a position that's vacant. Some have been vacant for a while and you need people right away. Here's a talent pool that's proven and challenged and able to do that.
We're speaking with Dr. Vince Patton III. He's the Director of Community Outreach for Military.com, part of Monster Worldwide. Now let's talk about the other end of the spectrum. People, well, let's take you, for example. You had a long career in the Coast Guard, which is not strictly DOD, but it has many of the same qualities as defense service. For people that are entering the workforce, either in the federal government or the private sector, at the end of a military career, what are those challenges?
Well, I use myself as a good example, is the fact that for what I have done in the military, particularly retiring as the highest rank enlisted in the Coast Guard as the Master Chief Petty Officer of the Coast Guard, is that I had opportunities of having not only a job that I was the senior ranking enlisted person that was an advisor to the Commandant of the Coast Guard, but how do I take that and relate that to what my civilian skills are? It really was about me, myself, being put in that position to take a couple of steps back and look at what am I going to do when I grow up, when I leave the service, and the kinds of things of what I can do and provide. So I kind of got self-educated just prior to coming into this job, having a baptismal fire myself, to be able to look back at the skills and knowledge and experiences that I have had over my 30 years and being able to translate that.
And do you find that for those, say, not so much maybe at the general officer level, but captains, corporals, commanders, that level, is there a cultural gear meshing that has to happen on both sides when they move into the civilian side of the world?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things that I think military people sell themselves short about is the fact that this comfortability of being in the military and that military culture, that you can't function when you get out of that. Truth of the matter is that we do change jobs. I mean, you know, say, well, I've been in one job for 30 years. Well, not quite. You know, 2 to 3 years and you move on to do something else. So we do change jobs. We do move locations and so forth. So we do have the same types of that culture that exists in the civilian sector that people need to understand.
And you're used to showing up for work on time.
Absolutely.
You could take orders and give them.
And give them.
And sometimes that's a little maybe looser in other parts of the economy.
Well, that discipline thing is very important for everybody. And I think that if there's any one thing that a transitioning service member or veteran brings to the table is that discipline, is the fact that that ability of being to work on time, that responsibility is placed on them.
And what would you tell the federal government with respect to hiring processes? What should change the most to help ease this whole process of getting veterans into the workforce in the federal government?
Well, I think for the most part, which I know that OPM is moving in the right direction on, is under the USA Jobs site, posting your resumes and being able to, and I think that's one step in the right direction as compared to before when there was this 9-10 page form you had to fill out and so forth. So it's truly a step in the right direction. It's keeping up with what's going on in the private sector as well. So if they continue on in that process and stay with the leverage of what's going on in the private sector, then the federal government will be there, and they'll be able to get that top talent.
Dr. Vincent Patton III is Director of Community Outreach at Military.com, part of Monster Worldwide. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And reporting live from the Human Capital Management for Defense Conference in Arlington, Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.